Tonight's message is Freedom in Jesus. This is the Memorial Day weekend, 2022. This weekend, tomorrow, Memorial Day, we honor the men and women who died in service to this nation, to defend this nation. Thank God that they have helped gain freedoms that we enjoy in this blessed USA. If you have a loved one who died while serving in the U.S. Armed Forces, we say thank you to that loved one. We honor that loved one, that friend, that person that you care for, that person who fought for this great nation. But tonight I want to make the point, and I want to make it strong, that we hold in utmost honor, the greatest honor, Jesus Christ, the greatest being who ever lived and died and then rose again. He was born in a stable in Bethlehem. His ministry began when he was 30 years old, and for 3 years, how God anointed Jesus with the Holy Ghost and power, who went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil, because God was with him. And the pinnacle of Jesus' mission happened when he went to Calvary over 2,000 years ago and died brutally on that cross. He died not for physical freedoms, although yes, in his work, we can have physical healing, but he died for spiritual freedoms that we can enjoy. These are eternal freedoms. And for the next few minutes, we're going to talk about the spiritual freedoms that Jesus gained us by his death and his work on that cross over 2,000 years ago. Amen? Amen. He is the greatest being who ever lived, and we hold him in the highest regard. The spiritual freedoms we have received through Christ's death. We have received freedom from the stronghold of sin. Let's see what the angel told Joseph in Matthew 1, 21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. He will save, he will rescue, he will deliver his people from their sins. Jesus came to break the power of sin over our lives. You know, at this time when Jesus was born, the people were looking for a political Messiah who would break the power of Rome over them. But Jesus did not come as a political Messiah. Jesus came as a spiritual Messiah to break the power of sin over those who put their faith and their trust in him. Is that good news? Friends, this is the gospel. And maybe tonight you're dealing with an addiction in your life. You and God know what it is. Maybe it's looking at something you shouldn't look at. Maybe it's talking in a way you shouldn't be talking. You're dealing with something in your life. It's a stronghold of sin over your life. And I'm here to tell you tonight that Jesus wants to break the stronghold of sin over your life. He wants to give you power over the grip of sin over your life. But you've got to entrust your entire being into the hands of Jesus. It all starts with faith and trust in Jesus Christ. So Jesus came to give us freedom from the stronghold, the grip that sin would want over our lives. Another freedom that Jesus brings is freedom, and we know this, from eternal death. Freedom from eternal death. Now, Paul writing to Timothy in 2 Timothy 1, verse 9, the last part, is talking about the grace of God. This grace was given us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed, 2 Timothy 1:10, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. For those who put their faith in Jesus, that's us, death no longer has power over us. Eternal death no longer has power over us. He has freed his followers by his death on that cross from eternal death by giving us eternal life. You know, this entire world at one time was destined for an eternity separated from God. But he sent Jesus over 2,000 years ago, and at the end of his ministry, Jesus died upon the cross. died upon the cross to defeat eternal death, and so that in place we could have eternal life, so that when you leave this earth by faith in Jesus, you can be in heaven with God and with Jesus forever and ever and ever. Is that good news here tonight? And tonight I want to talk about another freedom, and we're going to focus on this one here for the next few minutes. I want to talk about the freedom from bitterness that was provided by Jesus' work on the cross. Freedom from bitterness and unforgiveness. Now, Paul writes in Galatians chapter 6, verse 14, "May I never boast except in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, through which the world has been crucified to me and I to the world." The world has its ways of thinking. Those that are non-believers in Jesus have their ways of thinking. When someone offends a non-believer, somebody who is of the world, how does the world respond? Even maybe if that offender maybe apologizes to this non-believer, how might the non-believer respond when he gets offended? He might think about the offense day in and day out. He may get bitter concerning that offense. He may be thinking day in and day out how he can retaliate against his offender. But by the cross of Jesus, the world and its ways have been crucified to us. By the cross of Jesus, by his death on that cross, the world and its ways have become dead to us. They have become of no effect. They lose any power over us. Because of Jesus' death, bitterness loses its power over us. If Jesus is ruling and reigning on the throne of your heart and somebody offends you, bitterness should have no power over you. We become free from bitterness by the work of Jesus on that cross. We become free from thoughts of revenge against the offender. Are you following Jesus? Are you following him closely? Are you a true and close disciple of Jesus Christ, God the Son? If so, when somebody offends you in something they say or they do, don't let it become a bitter root in your life. Let it go. Don't plan how you might get even against your offender. Let it go. Leave it in the hands of God. Vengeance is God's. He will repay. Friends, I'm here to tell you that as long as you're alive, and that as long as you remain alive on this earth, offenses will come. Offenses will come. Somebody might slight or say something negative about your appearance. Maybe about your weight. Maybe about the way you dress. Maybe about the way you look. Or maybe somebody borrowed something from you, took something from you, promising to give it back, and they never return it. They forget, or they no longer have that thing in their possession. Maybe somebody lied about you to a coworker and slandered your good reputation. Maybe it was a parent when you were a child that belittled you. And maybe these offenders in your life, maybe they have acknowledged their sin against you, and maybe they have passingly apologized, but maybe you still today feel like, man, that was a deep wound, and you keep thinking about it, and you keep mulling it over in your mind. Friends, I'm here to tell you today, you've got to let it go in Jesus' name. You might find it hard to forgive, but God will give you his grace. God will give you his empowerment by the Holy Spirit to forgive the person who has offended you. And we're going to turn to a parable, an awesome parable that Jesus gave in Matthew chapter 18. Matthew chapter 18. Verse 21, then Peter came to Jesus and asked, "Lord, how many times shall I forgive my brother when he sins against me? Up to seven times?" Some say 70 times seven. And you know, Jesus answered, "I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times. I tell you, not seven times, but 77 times." Now, we know that Jesus was not into numbers concerning forgiveness. Right? What was Jesus talking about to Peter? He was saying, Peter, you have got to live a lifestyle of forgiveness toward your offenders. He's saying, no matter how many times in a year or in a day somebody offends you, you have got to walk in forgiveness. You've got to release that person of the debt that you feel that they owe you. You've got to walk a lifestyle of forgiveness 24/7, Peter, and it applies to us. We have to walk a lifestyle of forgiveness if Jesus rules and reigns upon the throne of our hearts. And then the parable. Therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. Verse 24, as he began the settlement, the man who owed him 10,000 talents was brought to him. 10,000 talents is worth like millions of dollars. Since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. Now, the master represents God in this parable. But the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. The servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. So this servant who owed his master millions of dollars was repentant, right? Have mercy on me. I know that I owe you this money. And the master had mercy on him and canceled the debt. He forgave that servant of his debt. But when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii. 100 denarii is a very small amount compared to 10,000 talents. It's like days worth of wages. It's very little. He grabbed him and began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he declared. His fellow servant fell to his knees and begged him, be patient with me and I will pay you back. So this fellow servant knew that he owed this other servant this 100 denarii. He acknowledged it. He was repentant in a sense. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. When the other servants saw what had happened, they were greatly distressed and went out and told their master everything that had happened. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant, he said, I canceled all that debt of yours because you begged me to. Shouldn't you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. This is, here's the clinching verse, verse 35 of Matthew 18. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from the heart. You know, the servant who was forgiven a debt worth millions of dollars, the 10,000 talents, forgot this. He forgot the debt that he was forgiven. He went out, found a fellow servant who owed him 100 denarii and would not forgive the debt of that fellow servant. Such a small amount of money. Even though that fellow servant acknowledged that he owed him money. Even though that fellow servant, in a sense, was repentant. And friends, this parable speaks to us today. Let us never forget the mountain of sin God forgave us of by Jesus' death on the cross and our faith in Him, by our repentance. Let us never forget the mountain of sin that God has forgiven us through the work that Jesus did on the cross and shedding His blood for our sins and our faith in Jesus and our repentance. Let us never forgive the great mercy of God toward our lives. If we can remember the sin God has forgiven us in Christ, then we will have the strength to forgive fellow humans who know maybe that they've sinned against us. We need to be, Paul writes to the Ephesians in Ephesians 5:1, that we need to be imitators of God. We had a mountain, an enormity of sin against God. But when we put faith in Jesus, when we repented of those sins, God forgave us. And maybe somebody has sinned against you. Maybe they have slighted, like I said earlier, your appearance. Or took something from you, forgot to give it back, and now no longer have it. And you're upset. And maybe that person has acknowledged to you their sin. And maybe they're saying, you know what, I apologize for having said what I said about your appearance. And you still sometimes can't let it go. You still hold on to it. If you continue to hold on to it, you'll become entrapped in a prison of bitterness. But by Jesus' death on the cross over 2,000 years ago, we have freedom from bitterness. We have freedom from unforgiveness. Maybe that person has apologized to you about slandering you to a coworker who no longer works at that job. And you're like, man, I know they've apologized and they've acknowledged their wrong, but still the wound is so deep and I can't let it go. And you think about it, friends. If you keep thinking about it and mulling on it, guess what? It'll put you in a prison of bitterness. And guess what? Remember, we need to remember the enormity of debt, the sin that God has forgiven us by the work of Jesus Christ on the cross, by the repentance of our sins, and by our faith in Jesus Christ. Is that making sense here tonight? We're to be imitators of God in this area of forgiveness. And you know, when somebody offends you, when somebody does you wrong, and they acknowledge the wrong, they acknowledge the sin, they repent, that's the first step to reconciling that broken relationship with that person. You know, in this parable, that person who was forgiven by the master millions of dollars worth of debt found a fellow servant and would not forgive him. When the master, who represents God, found out about that, he retracted, took back that forgiveness, and placed that original servant who was forgiven of debt of millions of dollars into a jail to be guarded by the jailers. And it says, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all that he owed. Took back that forgiveness and put that guy in prison until he could pay back all that he owed. And I'm here to tell you tonight, the point is this from the verse I just read now, is that if you're walking in bitterness, maybe somebody has acknowledged their wrong towards you and you keep thinking about it, but man, that wound was just so deep and I just can't seem to get over it. And you think about it day and night and you're planning how to retaliate and get even. Guess what, friends? You put yourself into a sort of mental jail, mental prison. You can drive yourself mentally crazy. You know, if you keep thinking about that wound and that offense day in and day out, it'll try to rob you of your sleep and your peace. It can put you in a sort of emotional jail, an emotional prison where you get depressed thinking about the wrong that person did to you. I mean, guys, for crying out loud, if that person acknowledged their wrong and repented, just let it go in Jesus' name, because we need to remember the enormity of debt that God has forgiven us of by the work of Jesus on the cross, His resurrection, our faith in Jesus, and our repentance from those sins. Is that making sense here tonight? We need to be imitators of God. But remember, forgiveness is unconditional. Before I get to that point and expound on it, I want to read you an illustration from the Preacher's Sourcebook of Creative Sermon Illustrations. I thought this was a good one. It shows the power of forgiveness. Forgiving his son's murderer, Reverend Walter H. Everett answered the phone, unprepared for the words he heard. Scott was murdered last night. Walter's anger toward his son's killer raged through him like a violent riptide, growing even worse when a plea bargain resulted in a reduced sentence for the attacker. My rage was affecting my entire life. How am I going to let go of this anger, I wondered. The answer came the first time I saw Mike, almost a year after Scott's death. Mike stood in court prior to his sentencing and said he was truly sorry for what he had done. So this guy, Mike, was repentant, right? 3.5 weeks later, on the first anniversary of Scott's death, I wrote to Mike. I told him about my anger and asked him some pointed questions. Then I wrote, having said all that, I want to thank you for what you said in court. And as hard as these words are for me to write, I forgive you. I wrote of God's love in Christ and invited Mike to write to me if he wished. 3 weeks later, his letter arrived. He said that when he had read my letter, he couldn't believe it. No one had ever said to him, I forgive you. That night, he had knelt beside his bunk and prayed for and received the forgiveness of Jesus Christ. Additional correspondence led to regular visits during which we spoke often of Mike's and my growing relationship with Christ. Later, I spoke on Mike's behalf before a parole board, and he was given an early release. In November 1994, I was the officiating minister at his wedding. When asked about his early release, Mike says, "It felt good, but I was already out of prison. God had set me free when I asked for his forgiveness. Can I truly forgive? I had wondered if it were possible, but I've discovered the meaning of the Apostle Paul's words, 'For freedom, Christ has set us free.'" The power of forgiveness, friends. That's awesome, isn't it?
Amen.
But you know, sometimes the offender is not apologetic. So we have to remember this, that forgiveness is unconditional. In the parable in Matthew chapter 18, verses 21 through 35, both of those people who owed money were apologetic. They were repentant, if you read the parable. But sometimes the person who offends you will not acknowledge his sin against you, her sin against you. You know, they'll be like, "That was just a joke." Or they don't apologize. They don't acknowledge that they did wrong to you. And yet you must still forgive. Why? Because forgiveness is unconditional. It does not depend on the offender's response of whether or not he or she felt that they offended you. See, that person may never repent, may never apologize, may never acknowledge the wrong they did to you, but yet you've got to forgive. And forgive how? You forgive in this way. You forgive by releasing yourself of having to get revenge and retaliation against your offender. Release yourself of feelings, of plans of retaliation against that person. If the person who has hurt you is not apologetic, you still forgive. You release yourself from having to get even against that offender. You can't really reconcile with them unless they repent and acknowledge the wrong that they did, but you can still forgive them by releasing yourself of feelings and plans of retaliation against them. Is that making sense here tonight? And Paul, quoting the Old Testament, writes this. One last verse, Romans 12, verse 19. This is what he writes. If I can find it here, okay. "Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, 'It is mine to avenge, I will repay,' says the Lord." Don't try to take the matter into your own hands, friends. God is in control. He's got the entire matter, that offense, that thing that was done to you, that bad thing that was done to you. He's got it in the palm of his hands. He's got it under his control. Vengeance is his. He will repay. He will bring justice to that situation. And even if that person who's caused a deep wound in your life and has offended you doesn't repent and hence cannot reconcile with you, you can still pray for that person. Because Jesus also teaches in the Sermon on the Mount about loving our enemies. You can pray for those who persecute you. That person may not realize the wrong they've done. They may realize it and not acknowledge it, not repent. You can't reconcile with that person, but you can still forgive that person by releasing yourself of any feelings of revenge you want to take against that person. And then you can pray for that person. God, you know this person is in your hands. Make them realize, if you realize the wrong that they've done, and God will take care of it. And friends, forgiveness is not easy, as I said earlier in the message. Forgiveness is not easy. In our human flesh, we fight against it. You know, the natural human response to an offender, somebody who has wounded you, somebody who has struck out against you, the first natural human response is to want to get even. I just want to get even with that person. I just want to get him back for what they did to me. The flesh fights against forgiveness. But we have got to put death to the flesh, because Jesus rules and reigns upon the throne of our hearts. And when it gets hard for you to forgive somebody who has offended you, You pray and say, God, I can't do this on my own. God, I need the empowerment of your Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of me. God, you take the reins of my life. God, I thank you that you give me your divine spirit empowerment to forgive my offender, for me to let it go, and for bitterness and unforgiveness to break its grip and its stronghold over my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. You know, an offense may come in the next few minutes when you leave this room here tonight. Don't get bitter. Don't think about it. Just let it roll like water off a duck's back. Just let it go. Let's walk in forgiveness. You'll sleep better at night. You'll be more at peace. You won't be as depressed if you're dealing with depression. You'll be more full of joy if you can release your offender. Don't plan retaliation. Use that mental energy, thinking about how you can get more into God's Word, or share the gospel of Jesus Christ with others, or finding a job or a better job, or educating yourself. Don't plan and spend your mental energy thinking about how you can get even with all these people who have done you wrong. Is that making sense here tonight? You just got to let it go. If you want to live healthy, forgive and keep on forgiving. Amen?
Amen.
Is that a good word here tonight?
Yeah.
All right. And as you were listening tonight, you might have thought, well, you know what? I've never even accepted for the first time Jesus Christ as my Savior and my Lord. Forgiving others begins with accepting Jesus as your Savior and your Lord. That's the only way you end up having Holy Spirit divine empowerment to forgive your offenders, by accepting Jesus. So if you've never accepted Jesus, but tonight you want to do so for the first time, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. If that's you here tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. Anybody in the room here tonight for the first time? Well, maybe you accepted Jesus, but maybe you got upset with somebody. Maybe you got upset with God, and maybe you walked away from Jesus. And tonight you want to recommit, re-give, rededicate your life back to Christ. If that's you here tonight, raise your hand. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. See this man with his hand up? Sir, stand up. Stand up. These two, please stand up. Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit to recommit your life to His Son, Jesus Christ, don't waste another moment. Because remember this, the next hour is not guaranteed you. If you were to slip into eternity in the next hour, do you know beyond the shadow of a doubt that you would meet Jesus and be in heaven? Anybody else want to follow their lead tonight? Anybody else? Anybody else? See that person standing up in the back? Anybody else want to follow their lead here tonight? Don't waste another moment. If God is whispering to you by His Holy Spirit, respond.
Amen.
Anybody else? I see that man raising his hands. You can stand up too, sir, if you like.
Amen.
All right. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. It doesn't matter what the person next to you is thinking, in front of you is thinking, behind you is thinking. It's only what God thinks about you that really matters. In the next few minutes, that person will forget what you did. All right? All right, those standing up here tonight, come to the altar. Just right behind this step here. Don't be afraid. Don't be ashamed. All right, those standing up here tonight, repeat this prayer. Dear Jesus, I thank you that you died upon the cross for my sins. I followed you at one time, but I've slipped away. I've said and done some bad things, but tonight I say I'm sorry. I change my mind from going my way to going your way only. Again, be my Savior and my Lord, the one in full charge of every part of my life, my spirit, my soul, my body, my relationships, my finances, every part of me, be Lord over my life. I give my life back to you. I love you, Jesus. And Jesus, give me the strength to follow you the rest of the days of my life on this earth. When I leave this earth, I look forward to seeing you face to face. In Jesus' name, amen. Welcome back to God's family, guys. All right, let's give him a hand here tonight. The angels in heaven are rejoicing over the decision they've made here tonight. And for those you men here tonight who came forward, remember to remain close to Christ on this earth. Keep going to church services. Keep reading your Bible. Keep praying to God. Keep forgiving your offenders. Amen. May God richly bless you. Have a blessed Memorial Day. Have a blessed weekend. And you guys are dismissed. God bless you. We'll see you next month.